There is so much locked up here, and I can tell you, what I'm sharing with you is not only what I've learned in books, but I've learned from my own now life experience. Jesus Christ, we may say, practiced penance, if we want to use the word. Voluntarily endured pain, but not for himself, but for others. And, oh, how many wives I've talked to. Their husbands find them difficult. My Lord, do you love him? Sure I love him. And then what are you talking about? But I can't stand him. What has that got to do with love? Number 25. It is possible for a great sinner to become a great saint. Sure. And in fact, it's a good idea to read the lives of some great sinners. Lift up your spirit. And in fact, historically, among the most zealous apostles over the centuries, have been the biggest converted sinners. Take a man like Paul or Xavier. He lasted 10 years. So, in fact, this is Carter Newman. He thinks that there are exceptions. But the general rule, this is Carter Newman, the general rule is that God allows great sinners in order to great to produce great apostles. It's a good start. So, let's take one more and then we'll take some questions. Number 25. It is possible for a great sinner, we just said it, didn't we? To be a great saint. It is. In fact, that's one reason that God allows people to become great sinners. Could he have cut them off before they became great sinners? Sure. Could he have cut them off before they committed any sins? Sure. Could he have decided, I won't create that so-and-so? Could he have not created? Yes. Did he have missed it? The reason why God allows great sinners is so they might become great saints. He allows some people to live longer. That's my theory. So they can, well, work off their sins and become greater saints. Take some people longer. One more, then we quit. Alfie, for the time being. The foundation of penance is sorrow for sin. Yes. Oh. As you know, all the Mother Teresa sisters go through this course. What I'm doing now is writing explanations for all of the answers. And they're pretty bright, these nuns, aren't they? They got a lot of. Most of them got most of the answers correct. But they don't know why. One thing to say, the foundation of penance is sorrow for sin. But we better know what sorrow for sin means. Does it mean crying? No. Can a person shed tears without being really sorry? Yes. Having been on the stage for 6 years, there were times when I had to. Can you know that? You can induce tears. Do you know that? It's an art. The art of tear shedding. The essence of sorrow, of course, is sorrow for having offended God. In other words, The only real sorrow in theological terms is the realization that God loves me, and I have offended the one who so deeply loves me, and I love myself more than him. And that's a simple, good theological definition of sin. Every sin is an act of self-love over the love of God. Every sin, every sin. That's why so much of modern psychology is simply not Christian. No idea for many people of rising above self-love. Even when people say, I love you, they really mean, I love you for me. And when you don't give me what I expect from you, from my, quote, love, unquote, for you, well then, what do you expect me to do? Still love you? That's where the pagan world ends and Christianity begins. Loving those who do not love me. Loving those from whom I get nothing. That pleases me. I accept the realization that I am thus pleasing God. And believe me, I'm not just using words. I wouldn't have the gall to use this language. But in some sliver degree, I try to live what I am saying. And so, some questions. What is the theological ramification of saying sins rather than sin? Really, it's more than a ramification. For example, for the word sin to be put, I think it's in the Gloria. Am I correct? Of the Mass. Is it? Who takes away the sins, peccata, and the English is sin. There's not a mistranslation. Anybody who knows any Latin knows that peccata is plural. The moment we say sins, we imply that every time, and the key word is every time, we choose to do something that we know is contrary to the will of God, we sin. Sin is not generic. Sin is very specific. We commit sins each time we perform whatever it is, either trivial or grave, that we want because we want it, because we want it, but we know God doesn't want it, we sin. We have to use the word sin. This is a sellout to the fundamental optionists. As well, as I said before, Paul VI just had to come up with that statement, formal document. In any language, the meaning of all the words in the liturgy, in any language, are not the meaning of that language. They are the meaning of the original Latin. Thank God. Observation. Greater the prodigy of sin, the greater the prodigies of grace and the opportunities to serve and defend the truth. Yes, Never in the history of the church have there been such glorious opportunities for serving, teaching, and defending the faith. There's a war going on. The church is being assaulted. Well, I don't even have to know how to spell the word militant. It's great. Hope you know what I'm saying. I love it. They don't go around, you know, just, you know, either with a baseball bat or with a shotgun. No, that's not the way you, in fact, that's not good for heretics. If you shoot them and they die in the process, there's a soul going to hell. No, don't do it that way. You've got to know what you're defending. And by the way, I promised to share this with you this evening. I called Prague in Czechoslovakia today. Translation of the Catechist Manual was made into Bohemian, and I had a call back because it's about a month now since I met the translator in Prague. So I finally reached him. And he told me when we had charity in the airport in Prague that now I don't think I used the word, but I did speak of the Marian Ignatian catechists. And he said, I talked to the people that, you know, are re-evangelizing the so-called liberated nations formerly under communism. And they were so happy to hear that you got a catechetical network. Now, and I mean this, I'll be calling back, and I just explain to the benefactress who pays these telephone bills, and she assured me she has no worries that I have to call people in other countries too. But I mean this, that there is need, and the Holy Father wants lay catechists. Protestants, as you know, in the tens of thousands, did you know that? And we Catholics, that were by years. Well, we're basking in the leisure of our own home countries. And even those of you with families. How many children do you have? Yes. 10. How many are at home?
4.
5 at home?
4.
4? 4 at home. How old is the youngest?
5.
5. Well, I know Protestant missionaries, they call themselves missionaries, go with their families. Talk to Mary, would you? Believe me, I'm not drawing on thin air. It is way, way overdue. And Martha broke up, my secretary in Washington, came back from Romania, and she had no words to describe the destitution, physical and spiritual destitution. You know, the last day we're going to be held before God accountable for our practice of charity. And it happens to be this person. I wish it were somebody else, but it happens to be me. We're being told by the highest authorities in the church to organize zealous lay people to evangelize and catechize. I think that's at least for that's notice a subscript to this question. St. Teresa, Little Flower, said, "Heaven is all the way." Teresa of Avila said, "I cannot see heaven, understand heaven, as being anything other than pain." Please expound. Well, first of all, the little flower, heaven is all the way. I'd have to see the French to make sure just exactly what she said. Here are some things she might have meant by saying this. Heaven is all the way in the sense that everything in our lives on earth is on the way to heaven. On the way and all the way. So they all can mean everything in our lives. It is meant to be the way to heaven. Teresa of Avila, "I cannot see heaven, understand heaven, as being anything other than pain." Well, that's all right, Teresa, here on earth. In other words, heaven, either for ourselves or for others, is unthinkable without suffering. Amen. Amen. It doesn't mean that heaven, as a beatific vision, is a place of suffering. No. But the only understanding of heaven that we should have is of suffering here on earth. And the essence of suffering is the voluntary surrender of our will to the will of God. That's it. Romans 10:10, "For with the heart a man believes unto justice." Oh, now we've got it. "And with the mouth profession of faith is made unto salvation." And then Latin, "Corde enim creditur ad justitiam, oriatim confessio fit in salutem." And you mentioned St. John, didn't you? Yeah. Now, St. John has passages similar to this, but the best text, the closest to whatever I had in the pages, is in Romans, St. Paul. Then, compare penance and sacrifice, please. First of all, what we said about penance stands. The essence of penance, therefore, is the voluntary suffering in expiation for sin, so that sin and pain are part of the meaning of penance. I endure pain now, either to expiate sin of the past, or we endure pain now in order to obtain the grace that sinners need to repent. Now, sacrifice. My favorite definition of sacrifice is the surrender of something precious to God. the surrender of something precious to God. Sacrifice, therefore, identifies what we do. Penance tells us one reason, not the only one, but one reason why we do it. In other words, I can sacrifice for many reasons. And the highest form of sacrifice is the sacrifice of adoration. The surrender of something precious to manifest my recognition of God's sovereignty over me. And that sense, every religion, known to man, practices sacrifice. In other words, sacrifice then as adoration. By the way, that's the highest form of adoration, sacrifice. So the motive for sacrifice can be any one of four or even five basic levels. One, the motive can be adoration. Another motive for sacrifice can be petition. A third motive for sacrifice can be petition. Petition. I want something from God, so I join my prayer with sacrifice. I give up something that I like in order that my prayer might be more effective. But then I can also sacrifice in order to obtain mercy. And that then is penance. Penance, therefore, is sacrifice in order to expiate sin. So the sacrifice is then generic. Am I clear? And there are different kinds of motives. Now we can add a fifth motive for sacrifice, and that is love. But the way I teach the subject, I subsume love under adoration. And I teach that there are two basic forms of adoration. The adoration of submission and the adoration of love. In other words, I adore God by recognizing His infinity, His lordship over me, by submitting my will to His. That then is the adoration of submission. Or I adore God not precisely by submitting my will to His, but rather by loving Him, by uniting my will with His. And there's a difference between submitting my will to someone who is my Lord and Master and uniting my will with someone whom I love. Both in my theology are forms of adoration. But then penance then is that form of sacrifice whose motive is to expiate sin, obtain divine mercy for myself or others. Thank you. A local pastor is now telling his parish that they are to stand through the consecration of the Mass. He says this is mandated by Vatican II, by the Roman Missal's instructions. His altar is not surmounted by a crucifix, but by a risen Christ on a cross. Please give a general response as well as a specific answer. Now, the truth of the pastor's claim, where to find counter arguments, and how to proceed in the matter. Thanks for the very specific direction. Well, let me do what I can. First of all, the pastor is, not be very kind, is all wet. You can tell him. In fact, you can give him a copy of the tape, by all means. Sir. And tell him to call me up. Or give me his number, I'll call him up. After he listens to the tapes. So he's all wet. I'm being kind. So No. In fact, there are specifics about kneeling and when kneeling should be done. Now, what I could do, except given my commitments, and believe me, they are considerable. If somebody, I can provide people with a source where you can look it up and find out where specific passages regarding, say, the posture during Mass is directed by the Church, okay? Could you briefly describe or give specific examples of sins of omission? Or sins of omission? Somebody does something, well, kind for you. You don't show your gratitude. And I, in my book, the worst sin of omission is ingratitude. Remember Shakespeare's King Lear? Remember the words. Blow, blow. Thou winter wind, thou art not half so unkind as a man in gratitude. Oh, the suffering, the agony of so many people, parents, for example, the ingratitude of their children. Also, how grave is the obligation to defend the faith? It is a very grave obligation. Now, there may be specific instances in which a situation arises where I could be bound under mortal sin to defend my faith. Now, in effect, if I did not defend my faith, I would be a privy to the denial of the faith by someone else. But speaking generically, it is a lifetime obligation, so that how you spread that obligation, it is a grave obligation. Any specific instance need not, of course, be grave. The key, by the way, in defending the faith is not the gravity of the obligation. It's there. It is the manner of defending the faith. And this is where we all need, how we need to learn and know simple lesson is enough, because you've got to be very shrewd, even cunning, in being able to defend the faith, so you're not just telling the person, "You heretic." That's not defending the faith. It does nothing. Defending the faith means not merely standing up for the faith and calling the person a liar or a heretic or you're wrong. No. Defending the faith means hear it, giving rational grounds for believing what someone else has denied. We defend the faith with our minds, and we defend the faith to other minds that are assaulting the faith with their minds. Am I making sense? It's our minds. That's what these classes are all about. You want to not defend the faith or speak out against another's immoral lifestyle. How grave a sin, if any, is this? That's something different, immoral lifestyle. That is, you might say, an implicit denial of the faith. But there are all kinds of ways of defending, because, and one of the laws in moral theology is that you, say, reprimand somebody, to use that word, Only if you know it'll do any good. By not participating, sometimes silence can be a powerful weapon. And Christ used it, remember. If the Muslims believe that Christ was only a great prophet, how they reconcile Christ proclaiming he was the Messiah? This seems contradictory to hold someone to have high regards, but yet disbelieve what that person proclaimed. Well, believe me, Islam is not the only religion that is not consistent. In fact, one of the beauties of Catholic Christianity is its consistency. No other religion is. Do you recall in which document, possibly during the introduction of the sacramentary, the United States bishops specify that Catholics in the United States are to kneel at Mass from the Agnus Dei to the Great Amen? And again, let me locate any documentation. Would you agree it would require a great deal of suffering to reconvert our country back to Christ? Yes. 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 The language I'm talking to pro-life groups now. Would you please make an announcement that for those who order the consciousness of Christ by far the most, I was assured they would be in my hands this Sunday. I'll bring them to class. Thank you, Cecilia. Father Most is a great man. And his book, I consider a classic on the consciousness of Christ. If you don't mind, if you say 30. Will you bless medals and also rosaries tonight for saying the stations? I'll do that. Remind me. Can original sin be seen as the view of ourselves as separate beings from God or knowledge of Him? Well, certainly, original sin makes us different. No, we are separate beings just because we are each an individual person. The essence of person is individual, intelligent being. That's the official definition of person. Individual, intelligent being. So we are separate from God and He from us because He is three persons, each being true God and having only one nature. And we are as many persons as we are human beings. But we are in no way, identifiable with God. We are not only separate, we are distinct completely. Do you know we have Cardinal Assuyens from Holland? He is a dissenter to Humanae Vitae. Your brother, he is now, but Cardinal Assuyens was the one under whose direction, pardon me, under whose jurisdiction, in whose ecclesiastical territory was published the first learned, lengthy, and profoundly intelligent attack on Humanae Vitae. The feminist movement in the world can mainly thank Cardinal Assuyens. I could talk for a long time about Cardinal Assuyens. I think that's it. Except the blessing, right? I'll stand for it. Mike, would you go in there and open the door and get me a stole from the sacristy? Look while you're on your knees. I'll be on my knees too. We are starting. Can I spend a few minutes organizing an international communication system? And I've left a long letter and description with Connor Soons in Rome on the subject. And I'll share more with you as days go by. But all I can tell you is, if you've been wondering what apostolic work you're going to do, open the door. On the right. That's right. He's got it.
No, he doesn't bother yet.
He's got it. So I just thought I'd share that with you. In other words, we are at the dawn, where the Holy Father believes, the greatest renaissance, the white one. Isn't that delightful? Thank you. Oh, gosh. At any rate, we'll tell you more about that later on. So just one, all it is, it takes one sign of the cross. And as whether the crucifix is either on the rosary or otherwise. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Benedicite omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, et erat super vos, in maniat semper. Amen. And by the way, try to get your way of the cross in every day. Would you? Just great. So look, we haven't said a Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O Mary, conceived without sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And then next Wednesday, I'm in Detroit, so we have class Latin at 6 and English at 7.